Every time we look at Aston Villa, they're just signing a new extension or a new contract with Unai Emery.
I know. They just like to do this.
I genuinely thought that this was old news. The more times he does it, the better, John.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
US Sport
on Off the Ball
with 888 Casino. 18 plus cgamblingcare.ie.
Now then, you're welcome back. We are going to turn to the WNBA, and I'm very happy to say Shalice Manza-Young, sports journalist, is on the line. Shalice, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, kind of hoping you can guide us through this. Caitlin Clark is a bit of a superstar, and her brilliance, you know, has more than reached these shores as well. Just remind us in very broad strokes the impact she's had on women's basketball over the last year, 18 months or so.
Yeah, she really has been a phenomenon, I guess is the word that I would use. She became the all-time leading scorer in college basketball in her last season at the University of Iowa. And that includes more points than any man that's ever played college basketball, not just women. I think she set the record for three-pointers. And, you know, she has a fun style of basketball. You know, just as Steph Curry with the Golden State Warriors likes to shoot those long threes, Caitlin does the same. And she's been it's layered, and I'm sure we can get into that, but she really has become a real talking point for women's basketball in this country, not just college basketball, but now the WNBA as well.
Well, on that note, so Jemele Hill, for instance, in the Atlantic has a piece here, and maybe that explains to everybody listening what we're trying to get at with this piece, because it's layered in many respects. So she wrote, "The arrival of a dynamite WNBA rookie class, headlined by the sensational Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, has prompted an explosion of coverage of women's basketball. But, and perhaps I should have anticipated this, the surge in popularity has come at a cost. Ill-informed male sports analysts are suddenly chiming in about the league and its players, offering narratives untethered to facts and occasionally making me long for the days when the WNBA largely flew under the radar." So maybe that's our jumping off point here, in that her arrival, and you know, I even remember the final round of the Masters, we were here talking about the TV viewing figures, and a lot more people in America were watching Caitlin play basketball that day than they were watching at the Masters, you know. So she's had this kind of seismic impact. But obviously that's led to this huge focus in the league, huge attention. And I actually, because I'm not over there, I can't figure out what the hell's going on in many respects. So here's an example, right? And again, you can explain this to us. So Pat McAfee is like, you know, superstar at ESPN. His show gets like, you know, $17 million per year. He's like as big as it gets in media. And he's railing against the media commentary or what, I don't know exactly. So here's a clip of McAfee on his show on Monday, and he's talking about the coverage around Clark and the WNBA. Just have a listen.
The GOAT. Is she what? I don't know. I just, with my eyes, I couldn't see if she's Caucasian or not. So I think what we're trying to say is what the WNBA currently has is what we like to describe as a cash cow. There is a superstar. And we're not saying that the players on the court need to act any differently. That's the athletes are going to do what athletes are going to do in any sport. And I think we're all learning that WNBA, that's old school football, baby.
Yeah,
That is old school football. But I would like the media people that continue to say, this rookie class, not. Just call it for what it is. There's one white for the Indiana team who is a superstar. And is it because she stayed in Iowa, put an entire state on her back, took a program from nothing to a multiple year success story? Is it because she would go on to break the entire points records in the history of the NCAA, not just the women's record by Kelsey Plum, shout out, but also Pistol Pete Maravich's, the dude's record as well? Is there a chance that people just enjoy watching her play basketball because how electrifying she is, what she did, what she stood for, how she went about going, what she went for? Maybe. But instead, we have to hear people say that we only like her because she's white. And she's the only popular because the rest of the rookie class is doing what they're doing. Well, that's a bunch of shit, and we think the WNBA, more specifically, their refs need to stop trying to screw her over at every single turn. What you have is somebody special, and we're lucky she's here in Indiana. And that was, guess which, WNBA rookie.
So that's Pat McAfee, who's a huge voice in American media. What is he talking about? What's going on here, Shalice? I just don't understand what's happening.
Okay, so first of all, I would like to, among the many, this is a smaller thing among the many issues, but Pat McAfee, he erased Lynette Woodard. So Kelsey Plum, I apologize, but Lynette Woodard was the actual true all-time point scorer, black woman who played years ago before women's basketball was acknowledged by the NCAA. So enough with the Lynette Woodard erasure. Okay, so it was unhinged, as you heard, from McAfee, and he was railing against himself in a lot of ways in that, right? Where he's talking about that people like Caitlin because she's white. And, but then he's saying that she's the only one that matters. And he called her the B word. It was just insane. Look, he can say what he wants and other people are going to say what they want. And I need to say, as Jamel did, nobody is saying that Caitlin Clark is not a good player, but a lot of her fans and a lot of the new fans to the WNBA like her because she is an avatar for all things that are good and great in America. She is a white girl. She is straight. We know that she has a boyfriend, and she's from the Midwest, which is a euphemism in this country for white, just like urban is a euphemism for black and therefore seen negatively so often. Again, she's not terrible. Most of the players in the WNBA are probably thrilled that these new ratings and the increase in attendance, because there is an opt-out in the union contract with the players at the end of this season, and the television contracts come up at the end of the 2025 season. And the commissioner of the WNBA has already said that her goal is to double the amount of television money that the league brings in. If they continue at this rate, it's going to be at least double, you know, if not 2.5 to 3 times what they currently pull in the league. Obviously, that means the players, who are insanely underpaid, will see their, you know, it because they're opting out of their contract with the league, you know, hopefully they renegotiate, that they get a bigger share of the profits, all of that kind of stuff. Everyone stands to benefit from Caitlin Clark's popularity and the eyes that she's bringing to the league. That's not in dispute. But this hip check thing, which is what spurred this most recent round of insanity, Caitlin Clark was hip checked. It was a hard hip check. It came in from behind from a player named Kennedy Carter with the Chicago Sky. If you watch it, it looks like, and you guys over there understand with your football players who like to flop, if you watch the play, it does look like Caitlin flopped a little bit. But the player eventually was, after the fact, was given an intentional foul sort of thing. But people are like losing their minds that women are fouling each other, you know? And the fact to me, and I said this to your producer, Arthur, a couple of days ago, Angel Reese, who is, you know, the other really big name in this rookie class, is an outspoken, tall black woman. Another veteran player a week ago basically took Angel Reese down by the neck. Angel was going up for a rebound. This veteran player whacked her in the throat, and Angel hit the court with the back of her head. Nobody was up in arms about that because it was a black woman hurting a black woman. But now we have this issue with Caitlin Clark getting a hip check. And, you know, you heard Pat McAfee there say it's the referees and they're letting the players, you know, these big bad players go after everybody's angel, Caitlin Clark. It's just absurd. You know, it's a lot of people who didn't give a rat's tail about the WNBA before last month. And now all of a sudden they want to be, they all need to have their takes, and they're mostly loud and wrong because there's a lot. first and foremost, and I apologize, I'm going on, but it's very, 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 there's just so much happening with this situation. The NCAA season ends. The WNBA draft happens just a few days later. And then they're in training camp just a couple of weeks after that. Caitlin Clark needs to gain some weight. That's part of it. You know, she's 6 feet and listed at, I think, 152 pounds. She's a little too light in the ass right now for, you know, banging around with these older women. The WNBA is only 144 players. There are 12 teams. They only get 12 players on a roster. It is the best of the best of the best women's players on the planet. Caitlin is not beating up against Rutgers, which was in her college conference and only won 8 games last year. You're talking about fully grown women who have been at this for years longer than she has. And so there's just so much happening here. And if you want to wrap her in bubble wrap and let her dominate again, let her go play in Europe somewhere where the players aren't as good as the WNBA. But this is what, it's a physical league. These women are, you know, she's playing against women who are 28, 32. Diana Taurasi is over 40 at this point. You know, these are grown women who are, this is what they do to everyone. You know, there are other rookies who are getting the same. There are veterans who scrap with each other because that's what it is.
It is very strange that kind of point about showing her respect almost. For instance, Austin Rivers, who's former NBA player turned analyst, he said, if you girls were Destiny Child, she'd be Beyonce. You need to appreciate her. It's about that time.
Oh my God. Pay respect.
And then we've Charles Barkley here, obviously, who's such an influential pundit. And this is him talking on Saturday before the game, before the body check, interestingly. So obviously there's been a theme of Caitlin Clark not being respected by her fellow players or being overly physically punished by her fellow players. But here's a little clip of Barkley talking before this incident, which seems to have driven everybody bonkers all over again.
You women out there, y'all petty, man. Hey, LeBron, you are 100% right on these girls hating on Caitlin Clark. Y'all petty, girls. I expect men to be petty because we're the most insecure group in the world.
Oh, you are.
Y'all should be thanking that girl for getting y'all ass private charters, all the money and visibility she bring into the WNBA. Don't be petty like dudes. Listen, what she's accomplished, give her her flowers. Stop being petty, all you women out there. She got y'all ass charters. She bringing all y'all this money to the table for y'all being petty like dudes. LeBron, you are 100% right. Y'all girls, stop being petty. Caitlin Clark, thank you for bringing all that money and shine to the WNBA.
So that was Barkley. Is the pettiness he's referring to, does that just amount to a certain physical treatment at the court, which you would think is perfectly allowable? Or is he diagnosing, I don't know, like a kind of antipathy towards her when other players are talking publicly about her?
So this is part of the madness. There has been, and as far as I've seen, there is no actual evidence of this. There's this thing where they've conjured up this story that all of these women just hate Caitlin. Like it's, you know, like I said, it's 144 women and 143 of them can't stand Caitlin. And they're all ganging up on this, you know, poor child. It's absurd. And it's also insulting on so many levels. The WNBA is in its 28th season, which means there were 27 seasons of women who fought and scrapped and played with little attention. But also over the last couple of years, the ratings, the television ratings have gone up. Pre-Caitlin Clark, if I remember correctly, the ratings last season from the year before, from 2022 to 2023, I think they went up by like 40%. So don't sit there and act like the WNBA was, you know, on the verge of bankruptcy or being wiped off the face of the sporting, you know, sporting landscape until this child came and saved the whole thing. And it's so, I love Charles Barkley and I have a lot of respect for him for so many reasons, but he's another man who's jumping in and being loud and wrong. And he cited LeBron James a couple of times there. It's just erasure of these legends, you know, go all the way back to Cheryl Swoops and Rebecca Lobo, who are among the very first players in this league. You know, Dawn Staley, who is incredible. These women had to toil under crazy conditions to get to where these players are now. And it's just bonkers. You know, like you said, it's just, yes, she came in. Yes, she is helping people. The WNBA players have been asking for chartered flights for years. Brittany Griner was put in a dangerous situation last year when she came back from being held captive in Russia and she rejoined her team in Phoenix, and they were walking through an airport and some right-wing nutbag accosted them. He didn't hurt her, but, you know, she's walking through an airport like you and I would. And so even back then, the league said that she could fly private. And because, of course, she's a teammate, she said no. And so finally now the WNBA is going to institute chartered flights for all games. Recently, it's only been for the playoffs. But it's just mad, you know, for anybody to sit there and act like this league was on death's door before Caitlin Clark came. It's just madness. It's insulting.
And Shalise, I saw Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, Lord.
No, it's okay. But he was in some debate about Caitlin Clark and I think the hip check from Saturday. And the other panelist, she's sort of said to him, well, listen, Stephen, you could have been talking about all this for the last however many years and mm-hmm. suddenly you're all on it. At the moment, like the mainstream conversations, and I guess we're guilty of this as well, albeit we don't talk about the NBA either very often in the show. But are all the WNBA conversations at the moment funneled through Caitlin Clark? Like, we're only talking about Clark. We're only talking about whether she's had a good day, bad day, been body checked or not body checked. Like, it's, you know, she blinks twice. That's a story. And anything else could happen in the NBA, WNBA, excuse me. And it doesn't garner Stephen A. Smith and the boys talking about it.
No. And I think, if some women in the league are upset because of that, I don't blame them. Yeah. The WNBA on the court has been getting better and better and better over the course of its, you know, like I said, this is the 28th season. The play has gotten better. The fan base has always been there. There's a, you know, it's not been the biggest, but it's been a mighty and dedicated fan base for years.
Right.
Off the court, you've seen the W, it's going to be lost to history because it is majority Black women. The women of the WNBA changed the course of American history a couple of years ago. There was a woman, Kelly Loeffler, who was a co-owner of the Atlanta Dream WNBA team, and she also was appointed to fill a vacant United States Senate seat. She was as far right wing as it could get. As she was campaigning to keep that seat, she started speaking out against the LGBT community. She started speaking out against Black Lives Matter. Those are all the things that the WNBA stands for. So the WNBA players did their research. They settled on Reverend Raphael Warnock, who was a Democrat, and he was five or six Democrats, you know, trying to get to that seat. And they started, you know, kickstarted his campaign. They showed up at, this was during the COVID season when they were in their bubble. They showed up, all of them, in Black t-shirts that said, vote Warnock. He won the Democrat primary, and he went on to become a United States Senator. And it shifted the balance of the United States Senate. So, and they started kneeling, and they started talking about police brutality before NBA players did, before Colin Kaepernick did. These women are incredible. They deserve so much more than to be reduced to having to talk about Caitlin Clark all the time. The Connecticut Sun this season, they're 9-0. Nobody's talking about them because everything has to be filtered through the Caitlin lens.
Okay. And a last one, and sorry, send me briefly if you can, because just
sure.
We're up against it. How is a 22-year-old Caitlin Clark dealing with being in the center of all this madness?
It seems like she's still going to put up a fight, you know, and I think that's one of the things that doesn't get acknowledged. She's known to be a trash talker. So we don't know if she's still talking trash to these veterans. And if is that might be part of what they're responding to as well. But I think at the end of the day, she would just prefer to just play. Mm. You know, she didn't ask for all of this attention. She certainly didn't ask to become so, I don't know if polarizing is the right word. She just plays basketball.
Even the racial aspect is, you know, that Pat McAfee's talking about her as the white girl, although he didn't say girl. But, you know, even that aspect is it gets very complex and strange.
But that's
quickly.
And I think that's where this started 2 years ago. You know, in the championship game, the women's championship game, it was LSU, which is almost entirely Black women, against Iowa, Caitlin Clark in Iowa, which is almost an entirely white team. And so in that game, LSU won, and Angel Reese, you know, was talking trash to Caitlin the way that Caitlin talks trash to other people. And again, it exploded. Right. There were so many people, Angel Reese, you know, racial hatred, death threats. I think there was like a AI porn video made of her. Like, it was disgusting the level of vitriol that Angel Reese has had to deal with in the 14, 15 months since that game. But I think that, you know, that was the tinderbox that just sort of started all of this, because Caitlin Clark, again, sweet white girl, has her ponytail, shoots from the logo. And Angel Reese and her other Black teammates, this is America. That's what it comes down to.
Shalice Mansa-Young, a sports journalist. Fascinating. Thanks so much for trying to explain all that to us. Appreciate it.
Hopefully I did
you
it
did.
Some
You
justice.
Did. We got there. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
US Sport.
On Off the Ball.
With 888 Casino. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.